Michael Avenatti planting pipe bombs on a caravan in Megyn Kelly's house? We'll get into it on this week's Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
The media resorts to personal attacks without any content other than to incite anger.
Welcome back to The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. This is Scott Cosenza. Joining me today is Lisa K. Donner. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Scott. And I just want to say that to get fired up when we record this, I would appreciate the music so that we can get all jazz.
The people can hear the music. I left it out.
But I like it. Dun, 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 dun,
all right,
dun.
Here we go.
Oh, you're going to play it?
For everybody's benefit.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
Welcome back to the uprising. Did you like that? Okay, is that better?
I did. They are the resistance, but we are the uprising. I love it.
All right, well, let's get into it. It was a bad day for, it's been a bad couple weeks now, I think, for Michael Avenatti. Ask me the question you asked before we started.
So what is new with Mr. Avenatti? Right.
Well, there are a number of new items. The worst new item. You know, I kind of don't like that moniker.
Well, it took you so long to get ready for this podcast. Half my beer is gone, so I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Right, right. Well, no, I just want to put that out on the record. Everybody deserves a defense. He's creepy in other ways, but not because of pornography or that he's a lawyer. Anyway, maybe that's a lawyer talking.
Oh, yeah. So. It doesn't have anything to do with ESQ right. after your name.
So,
just saying.
Listen to this. Today, Chuck Grassley... not in his capacity as Senator Chuck Grassley, but in his capacity as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, sent a criminal referral to the Justice Department naming Michael Avenatti and Julie Swetnick, you'll recall the gang rape accuser, asking basically what this says is, hey, we think that these people committed a federal crime and we want you to look into it. And again, this comes from the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which has oversight over the FBI. With a Republican president. So it's a really big deal.
Yeah, I actually did see something about that. On what grounds?
You saw me slack it because I'm going to write about it. Yeah, it happened earlier this afternoon.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that he believes that they committed a criminal act by trying to defraud the committee and delay its proceedings by illegally claiming falsely that Ms. Swetnick witnessed the... disgusting allegations that she signed in her affidavit, including watching Brett Kavanaugh wait in line to be a participant in a gang rape and other things.
Okay, but how can you prove that they are?
It's tough to prove.
Yeah.
But the evidence is, and the evidence that's discussed in the referral, is her own appearance on NBC that we watched with great interest, where she changes the facts. And you know, it's like, oh, I saw Lisa walk out that door. And then later on when I'm interviewed about it, oh no, you know, somebody told me that she walked out that door. Well, saying that you saw something happen and then saying somebody told you something happened are obviously completely different things.
All right, so, you only change the facts if there are no facts.
Well, this isn't about whether, yes. I mean, we're both in agreement, right, on that point. But whether it's a criminal matter or not is a separate question. Mm-hmm. And in any, whether it is or it isn't, you don't want that letter sent. In other words, if you didn't commit a crime, you well know you don't want to be investigated for crimes, even if you didn't commit them, because it's hell, right? So that's why it's a bad. That's why it's especially bad for Michael Avenatti today. Also,
okay, let me just say one thing. When are they going to bring up perjury charges for Dr. Ford?
What? Okay, let me.
Fair is fair. You're lying in front of Congress.
What? And where did she commit perjury? What acts?
She said she never counseled anybody on taking a polygraph. Right. There were a couple of others. I read an article that said there were five, and yeah. I'm not sure which five.
Never is the answer to your question. Mm-hmm. She's never going to be brought up for perjury. There's no appetite for kind of punishing her. And there is a fantastic difference between the way Julie Swetnick and Ms. Ford's revelations came to light. Let's recall that Ms. Ford did not want publicity. That publicity was done to her, okay? It was Feinstein and I forget her lawyer's name, Katz, Ms. Katz. They're the ones who ached for the publicity and engineered it. She just said, you know, I want this out there. Meaning, not out there to the public, right? But to the committee. I'm not saying she had pure motives, but it's an entirely different thing than Ms. Swetnick with the last-minute gang rape allegation, then unsubstantiated. So if there's any perjury, I would suggest it's Ms. Swetnick's that's more in jeopardy. I don't think there's any appetite at all for going after Ms. Ford.
Okay. Well, we shall see. Let's push on. Mm. Yeah. Pushing
and then
on.
Avenatti, yeah. They also got he had a bad ruling as well from some bankruptcy dispute about some business practice that he's engaged in and some back taxes that I think he was ordered to pay to the tune of several million.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Not good
so
for...
So he's all set up to run for president.
I keep saying this to anybody who will listen, and nobody's buying into it. But he is the Donald Trump of the left, Lisa, okay? He's brash. He talks a bunch of crap, okay?
Oh, stop.
I'm telling you, he really is. Except for the dough, he's not quite as wealthy as Trump, if you believe that Trump's wealthy. I know that the story varies on that from the left of whether he's actually penniless or started getting $1 million a week from his dad when he was 6 months old or yeah. something like that.
Okay.
In any case.
All right, pushing.
So that's the Avenatti update. Unfortunately, Stormy Daniels may have to go from, you know, feature dancing in the big clubs to maybe the smaller clubs. I will surely keep abreast of that situation.
Okay, so where are we going next? On it.
Let's talk Caravan.
Oh yes, let's talk Caravan. Or
I feel like playing C.W. McCall's Convoy.
As Laura Ingraham calls them. The mobile mob.
Is that right?
Wow. I like that. I think that's pretty good. She's sharp.
I don't know if I like a...
Oh, I like that.
If I like a mob.
Did you see them breaking down?
Yeah, I saw some of them.
And the Mexican police completely overwhelmed? I mean,
I did see some of that, but is that a fair representation of most of the... How many thousand is it up to now, do they say? Is it 8,000, 10,000?
Well, it depends who you listen to. Some people say 10,000, some people say 7,000.
Democracy Now! Is the only source I trust for these for these numbers. No, what do you think's the best number? What number would you rely on?
I'm just taking a wild guess. I'd say 8.
Out of the 8,000, mm-hmm. how many are Honduran-waving tough guy jerks that... you would never want in the country, and how many are people who want to live, you know, and be able to work in peace? And
all right, here's the question.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
It's like putting your hand in a bucket of jelly beans.
Uh-huh.
Even if you pull one out, who is ISIS or MS-13
Licorice,
or whatever.
Basically, you're saying.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean.
You want that green one.
How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want the licorice one.
Ugh.
Oh, I don't like green.
Best of the colors.
Yuck.
So, okay. What's your prediction? What will happen with the Caravan? I mean, let's talk about it. I want to hear what you have to say.
All right. First, I want to hear what Donald Trump said a couple days ago, because what I like about Trump is that he says something and then he does it.
You have some very, very bad people in the Caravan. You have some very tough criminal elements within the Caravan. But I will seal off the border before they come into this country. And I'll bring out our military, not our reserves. I'll bring out our military.
And guess what he did today, folks? He sent the military. Now, you're going to hear on CNN and ABC and all the O&Os, you're going to hear that you know, they're coming with guns ablaze. That's not true. They are going to be building situations if these people have to stay in them. They're
refugee
going,
camps.
Yeah, they're about. Going to be, you know, like Army Corps of Engineers. They're not armed with guns that could, you know, kill people. I mean, they're not taking a front line. So, but he sent them
I don't know
there.
What's worse, unarmed military confronting a potentially violent mob or armed military confronting a violent mob. Either way, I think you got a recipe for things getting out of hand. You have a Kent State type situation
right,
with
but
some.
Also, when you look at it, I believe Obama and George W. Bush, at least I know George W. Bush sent out more to the border mm-hmm. than
do you think
than
that,
Trump just did.
What should happen if a person is unarmed and does not seemingly qualify for any refugee status and presents themselves at our border and says, I want, you know, I have a cousin in Chicago who has a cot for me to sleep on and lead on a job, and please get out of my way so I can go live my life.
You know, Scott, I don't mean to sound insensitive here, but I just fear that if we let some of these people in, what's to keep all of Central America from rushing our mm-hmm. border? I just think, you know, we're not in the 1890s anymore. And even when we were, people had to go through Ellis Island. I mean, we checked their teeth. We checked them for yellow fever. Mm-hmm. We checked them for TB. I mean, you just can't be... I think it's both a national security issue and a national health issue.
Is it troublesome to you that for people who are not skilled or rich, that are brown and live in Central America, that there is essentially zero path to being able to come to America if they want to?
That's not true. Why do you say there's zero path?
So if you're a high school dropout in Honduras with no criminal record, mm-hmm. who could be a dishwasher or car washer in the United States, how do you get here if you're not willing to violate the law and just jump the fence? What do? You file paperwork. When do you think you're going to be able to come? When you're 60? If you're 22 now and you can't feed yourself? I just think that, you know, I recall, not that I recall it as an attorney, that like I lived it or anything, but I recall hearing stories about when I was a kid in the Italian neighborhoods in South Philadelphia and Polish neighborhoods and other ethnic neighborhoods, they had like sponsorship programs where a U.S.-based person would be financially or otherwise responsible for an immigrant, okay? So they could come over here and it would be fine. But if you didn't work and you didn't, you know, you couldn't feed yourself, well, then the American citizen had a duty then, you know, basically in place of welfare. I'm open to any creative solution that allows people to go where they want and do what they want without burdening the taxpayer.
All right, here's a creative solution. Build a big, beautiful wall. Do not tell me that other countries do not have border walls, because they do. Look at Israel. It works.
Israel.
I'm just telling you that
You say it works. Those people live like...
Okay, but here's the problem, Scott.
They're in a perpetual state of...
We cannot save the world. I mean, those days are over. We have poor people and... Okay, let me just say this one thing.
I don't want bases all around
okay,
the world.
We just watched, Tim and I just watched four parts of Bobby Kennedy.
Where's that? Is that Netflix?
It was a Netflix original. It was really good. It was
a dramatic series or a documentary?
It was a documentary, four parts. The three were good ones.
They talk about
the
his
last
dog?
One was terrible. Yes, they did talk about his dog. Okay. Yeah.
It's his sole redeeming feature as far as I'm
but
concerned.
If you look at Bobby Kennedy, this is a Democrat from 1968. And he talks extensively about, we have got to be taking care of our own. We have poor people in Mississippi and Appalachia and Chicago and Detroit. We cannot save the world. And we cannot let 10,000 people in our country, or 8,000 or whatever it is. Now, I want to just quickly go to Jan Brewer.
Well, before you do that, I'm going to play one clip, which I think is kind of interesting.
Okay.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Now, that's William Jefferson Blythe Clinton.
Ah, very nice.
On
124.95.
And
Bill.
And interestingly enough, listen to this. That's the standing. He gets a standing, a big ovation and a standing ovation from some.
Yay,
including
he gets
a lot of Democrats, by the way.
He gets my approval, Bill.
But I don't agree with that. But I think it's interesting for, you know, understanding the
history.
Right? This is where
and
we were.
And to see where the Democrats,
a liberal Democrat president of the United States in 1995,
yes,
or moderate liberal, whatever you want to call them, railing on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
All right,
to be an open borders advocate, Lisa, is a small club indeed. But I remain a steadfast member of that club.
All right, so we're running a little long, so let's jump down to Jan Brewer getting hot, because
is this the next Jan Brewer clip?
No, this is the last Jan Brewer.
All right.
And basically, what she's saying is that these governors in California, Nevada, Oregon, and wherever, they refuse to send any National Guard because, I guess, it's not politically correct. But she is hot about it.
Nothing. Well, they're just not serious about border security. They're not serious about the Dreamers. They're not serious about catch and release. They're not serious about the loopholes. They're turning a blind eye, and it is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. The first and foremost thing that government is responsible for is to keep our country sovereign and to keep their citizens safe.
All right, I'm going to offer up my approval, Bill. Do you want to push? Come on. Give it one. One. Come on.
No, I don't
Scott.
Want the bell. I don't thank
one
you, no.
One approval.
Thank
rate.
You, no.
I
will say that...
you're so staid.
Listen, the notion that governors and law enforcement personnel can pick and choose wantonly the laws that they want to represent is gross and disgusting. And I would love it if the mayor of Dallas or Arizona or some solid red city, to the extent there is one, would say, oh, you know what? We're not going to do like background checks on guns no longer required in our city because we're pro-gun. So we know the federal law requires it and whatever. We're gonna make sure nobody does. We can't have individual cities deciding which laws they want, you know, whether it's the sanctuary stuff or not. That is totally unacceptable.
Well said.
Yeah. It's just,
yeah.
It would be, I mean, can you imagine the uproar, right? Like, mayor of conservative town USA decides, not only are we going to do like what's the minimum level that's required by the law immigration, like we're actually going to fund our own van to bust them to the border ourselves. Like, just some ridiculous thing, right? Everybody would say, oh, that's totally unacceptable. The Fed should go in there and make them stop. And that's the same thing that should happen. And while I appreciate it, it's the necessary for consistency and approve of that with respect to immigration. Where I see this, Lisa, is on the free speech front, where these liberal mayors let these Antifa people literally beat people they disagree with and tell their police officers to stand a block away and put your hands in your pockets because they find it just, and I caution myself to not go here, but just like Hitler used his brown shirts to stifle the speech and objections of those who disagreed with them, that's how these Democrats are using Antifa.
Okay.
That may be strident, but I do believe it's true.
Let me
so
just
troubling.
Say this on Truth is Making a Comeback this week. we highlighted a lady in New York City who was just standing on the street corner. I don't know if you saw this. Innocently standing there. And she had an NYPD hat on. Well, this leftist behind her starts swearing and bitching at her. And he says, don't worry, I'm not your husband. I'm not going to beat you. And she turns around and points to her cap and says, my husband died in 9/11. And he basically says, I hope he rots in his grave.
Yeah.
This is completely uncivilized and I think appalling behavior.
Yeah. Uncivilized as pipe bombs.
All right. So let's go to pipe bombs. Over to pipe bombs in 3 seconds. I just want to say that right before we went on the air, WMAL, which is Washington's place where people go to talk, Carrie's, Limbaugh, and whatever, they emptied out the place.
I'm checking Drudge right now to see.
Yeah, because there's some kind of package left there.
The question is, were they really attempts at maiming and murdering? Meaning, I saw the pictures of some of the bombs, and it looked like maybe they looked like hoax devices. Mm-hmm. Honestly, do we have good reporting on that?
No, but we do have the FBI is closing in on some guy. I think either in Florida or New York, but it looks like Florida.
It's almost impossible to believe that you could do all this in today's day and age with the level of surveillance society that we have and the level of forensic
it looks
capability.
Like he's dropped them off, which is really stupid because if you think that the U.S. post offices don't have cameras. Yeah. But anyway, none of them had postmarks. And look, I'm not for Nancy Pelosi or Mad Maxine or any of
getting
those people
blown up, yeah.
getting blown up.
Or living in fear of getting blown up.
Yeah, or Cory Booker. But let me just say this.
Spartacus? No.
These people have called for violence. They have.
Oh, certainly.
They always say Trump starts it, but they've started this.
Oh, no. Maxine says give them no sucker, no relief. You see them out at dinner.
Isn't it Sucre?
I don't know. I'll have to check the Funkin' Wagnalls.
Sucre to me is S-U-C-K. Uh-huh. Okay.
So, yeah, no. She and they have, not that it's good for the goose or good for the gander, but everybody has to take a step back from the violence.
And take a deep breath. Yes, absolutely.
Because civilization is a veneer over our animal existence, and
you know,
can be
my
torn
brother-in-law
away.
Used to say, "God rest his soul." He just died unexpectedly this year. He was a magnificent man, and he said, "We run out of bread and water for 3 days, and we won't have a civilized society."
From Ken Gable's mouth to your ears, thank you, Lisa. All right. Thanks for joining us. This has been The Uprising.
Is that it?
That is it.
Oh, my gosh. It's done?
It's done.
All right. Bye, guys. And here's my approval bell to all of you.
I will join in, Lisa, with the approval bell for the audience. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our host and co-host. That's all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.